وسلم is forced to leave Makkah Mukarrama, and as he is leaving, the books of Seerah paint a very vivid picture before us that as our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is leaving Makkah Mukarrama, then he lovingly turns around and looks back at the city of Makkah Mukarrama, and these words come onto his Mubarak lips: Ya Makkah, ma atyabaki wa ahabbaki ilayya. Oh Makkah, how sacred and how beloved a city are you not to me. Lawla anna qawmi akhrajuni minki. If it were not that my people had forced me to leave you, ma sakantu ghayraki. Oh Makkah, I would have never settled anywhere else on the surface of this earth. Allah's beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving Makkah Mukarrama, and with the pain within his heart, he's bidding farewell to Makkah Mukarrama, and he's moving out and he is leaving. If circumstances had not forced me to leave you, O Makkah, I would have never left you. If we look at the example of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu is whooped at night. He is made to lie on the burning sands of Makkah in the day, and heavy boulders are placed on his chest, and he is physically dragged through the streets of Makkah Mukarrama. Yet Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu, when he is in Medina Munawwara, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu reminisces at the loss of the separation of Makkah Mukarrama. Despite his life being filled with difficulty, with hardship and with trials, the love that Allah had placed in the hearts of the whole of humanity. See, when nisbat of something, my beloved friends, is made to a thing, when nisbat of something is made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the value of it increases tremendously. So for example, the month of Ramadan is known as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَصُومُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِيُ بِي. Fasting is for me, therefore I myself will personally give the reward of the fast. Or ulama say that Allah is the reward for the fasting one. What happened was, Ramadan is a month like there are other months of the year. But the fadilat of Ramadan and the virtue of Ramadan increased tremendously when the nisbat, meaning when the link of it changed and it became linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the days became valuable, then the nights became valuable, because now the link was made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many homes and buildings throughout the world, and there is also a building in Makkah Mukarrama known as the Kaaba Sharif. Just as other buildings of the world are made up of sand, stone and cement, likewise the Kaaba Sharif is also made up of sand, stone and cement, but the nisbat changed. Allah said, Bayti, this is my home. Now it is unlike any other home in the world. The city, that is the city of Makkah Mukarrama, is unlike any other city of the world. Therefore, for you and I to perform salah in this masjid, our reward will be 27 times. And if salah is performed in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the reward is elevated 50,000 times. But that same salah performed in the city of Makkah Mukarrama is now elevated 100,000 times. One Jumu'ah, one Asr, one Maghrib, one Isha. It is not a normal Asr. It is not a normal Jumu'ah. It is not a normal Isha. The reward Allah multiplies it many, many fold. Why? Because it is a city that is blessed, and in the city is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever a link and a nisbat is made, and that nisbat is made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the value of things multiply many, many fold, my beloved friends. Alhamdulillah, we are now in a period called the month of Dhul-Hijjah. This is the final month of the Islamic calendar. And this is unlike any other month. All other months are there. But this is one of those months that Allah's beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us the significance of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself tells us that these are sacred months. These are not normal months. These are such days that we are currently in. So, name of the sahabi slips my mind. But Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu ghaliban, he says, that the days, or these current days, kullu yawmin alfu yawm, that every day is equivalent to 1,000 days. That is, we're speaking about the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Every day is equal to 1,000 days. Wa yawmu Arafa, Anas bin Malik Maf. Hazrat Anas bin Malik, yawmin bi alfi yawm. One day is equal to 1,000 days. However, wa yawmu Arafata, ashratu alafi yawm. The day of Arafah is unlike any other day of the year. Just like in the month of Ramadan, the 27th night, or should we say, one of the last odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, is unlike any other night of the year. No night can beat or come into comparison with it. And we all know that this night is the night of Qadr. Lay is the greatest night of the year. And just as we have the greatest night of the year, we have the greatest day of the year. And that day, my beloved brothers, is known as the day of Arafah, the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah. In South Africa, it will be on Friday, that is the day, so for example, Eid is on the 6th, 5th, 6th, what day is it? 6th, 7th, maaf. 7th, that is the Saturday, so Arafah in South Africa will be on the 6th, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Now what did Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu say? وَيَوْمُ عَرَفَةَ عَشْرَةُ آلَافِ يَوْمٍ is equivalent to 10,000 days. You'll never see 10,000 days in your life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving what? Allah is giving this reward because it is unlike any other day of the year. The nisbat is being made to Allah. Allah takes special qasam in the Quran. وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَتْرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking a qasam on the 10 days of the Hijjah, my beloveds. So, if we look at the Hajj, at the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then here also we learn so many valuable lessons. And the valuable lessons that we learn, first and foremost, Al-Hajju Al-Arafah. That Hajj is Arafah. And Arafah is Hajj. What does that mean? Person goes to Makkah Mukarramah and he decides on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, Makkah is empty. There's nobody here. Let me make tawaf of Baytullah from the morning till the evening because it's so easy. Millions of people have left the city. Will that person's Hajj be complete? It won't be complete. Why? Because he has to be present on the plains of Arafah. And if you ask yourself, what is Arafah? Arafah is nothing but sand, and more sand, and more sand. And there's no special ibadah that a person does there. Like for example, no tawaf of Baytullah, nothing. What is done there? It is dua. And this is dua wherein a haji will turn to Allah. And from the time of Zawal, when wukuf at Arafah starts, he will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will make dua, and he will make dua. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, she told us and taught us the dua of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 6 hours. For 6 hours, our beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking from Allah, begging from Allah, for who? For you and I of his ummah. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Oh Allah, forgive my ummah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sahaba were there, his ahl bayt were there, his family were there. Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for individuals like you and me, my beloveds. How grateful should we not be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us from the ummah of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many days, there are many nights, there are many months, there are many places. But there is no day that can compare to the day of Arafah. There is no night that can compare, for example, to the night of Qadr. There is no city in the world that can compare to Makkah Mukarramah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference and privilege over certain things over the others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unfortunately many of us, or fortunately should I say, we know about the fazilat of the month of Ramadan, and in advance we prepare for it, and we engage in the ibadah in the month of Ramadan. Yes, we equate it to making qurbani, and those that are going for hajj will understand this is a journey of a lifetime, and obviously move in that direction. So for example, a person that is going for Hajj, he will endeavor to meet as much of his family members, friends, neighbors, acquaintances. And obviously in this regard, when before a Haji leaves, what does he do? He goes and he meets the people and he asks and he begs for forgiveness from them. Perhaps there was, certain things that may have been said, certain things that may have been done. the many wrongs that we as human beings that we do. Sometimes we accuse people of things. Other times we say certain things that could break the hearts of individuals. So whatever it is before leaving for Hajj, everybody wants to leave with a clean slate. We forgive one another and then a person departs on Hajj. Because the one that performs Hajj, the sign of a maqbool Hajj is what? That he returns as the kayomin waladathu ummu. Like the day his mother gave birth to him. Clean. His slate is absolutely clean with nothing on it. This is the barakah of Hajj, my beloveds. So it's unfortunate that we don't really truly, you know, understand the value of the days of Hajj, etc., or the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These are no ordinary days, my beloved friends. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, it is now the month of winter. And alhamdulillah, tahajjud ends like about 5:19, 5:20, somewhere around there. So we have long nights. If we go to bed early, we can wake up early. Early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. Gee. So sleep early, you'll wake up early, and inshallah you can start your day with tahajjud salah. If you have the strength, then a person can keep the fast. So for those that are not in Makkah Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised that on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which will be Friday in South Africa, that a person should fast so that he can be some mushabahat, some similarity with the people in Arafah on that day. And what reward did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach us? يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَ وَالسَّنَةَ الَّتِي بَعْدَ. It is a means of the expiation of the sins of 2 years. One year prior and 1 year after. That the benefit of fasting on the day of Arafah is equivalent to the expiation and the forgiveness of 2 years worth of sin. We've got lifetime worth of sin, my beloveds. So we are in need of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَيْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَةٍ. There is no day from amongst the 360 lunar days or 365 solar days of the year that any soul is freed from the fire of Jahannam like the day of Arafah. It is that day wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees a countless number of souls from the fire of Jahannam, my beloveds. ينزل الله تبارك وتعالى إلى السماء الدنيا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends. And a descension in line with the uluwiyat and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses His malaika. وَيُبَاهِ بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts about His servants and His slaves to the malaika, to the angels. أَتُونِي أُنْدُرُوا look. إِلَىٰ عَبْدِي, look at my servants, إِلَىٰ عِبَادِي, at my servants and my slaves. أَتَوْنِي شُعْثًا غُبْرًا مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Look at my servants, look at my slaves. They have come to me from distant ravines and valleys of the world. And they have come to me in such a condition, with disheveled hair and their clothing full of dust. Oh my malaika, look at them. Look at them. It is now currently, we know that the temperatures are soaring in Makkah Mukarramah, in Saudi Arabia. It is, you know, it's peak summer. 45, 50 degrees heat. But look at my servants and slaves, oh my malaika. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam. Allah makes the malaika His witness. Ushhidukum ya malaikati. Oh my angels, I make you witness to this point. Inni qad ghafartu lahum, that I have forgiven each and every one of them. So the day of Arafah, my beloveds, is a very, very important day in the life of a believer. That those from amongst us who have not been for Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with a Hajj mabrur and a Hajj maqbool. Don't let the numbers frighten you, my beloved friends. The amount that Hajj cost 10 years ago or 20 years ago and the amount that the Hajj costs now, where they, we know it's crazy figures, crazy numbers. But that Allah who's been taking man from the inception, from the time that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was ordered to make the call, is still the same Allah. No matter what the figures reach, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will take a man with or without. Because the one that is in control of every single thing is who? Is Allah. It is not your wealth that will take you. It is not your belongings that will take you. It is not your name that will take you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you. Those that enter the kingdom, what are they called? They are called Duyufur Rahman. And what does it mean? They are the guests of Rahman. They are the guests of Allah. When Allah is the host and you are the guest, what do you need? If you are the host, for example, and you invite somebody to your home, do you ask them to come with their own meals? Do you ask them to take care of themselves when they come to you? No. They are your guests. You go out of your way to entertain them, to feed them, to house them, etc. Because they are your guests. And we're not talking about any ordinary being. We are talking about Allah, my beloved friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the host. Allah is hosting millions of people. And when Allah will call you, the thing is, we have to get ourselves accepted in the court of Allah. We have to beg from Allah. We have to take from the limitless treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From now, my beloved friends. For example, if we were looking at our pockets and making intention and saying, no, I can't make it Fajr, I won't be able to go in my lifetime, I don't think I'll ever go. This is the wrong thing. For example, Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I went to visit Fudayl ibn Ayaz. And he asked me a question. And he asked me, so I saw him on his knees and he was crying. And he asked me a question. And he asked me, Man aswa'u hadhal jam'i hala? He asked me, O Abdullah ibn Mubarak, from amongst these thousands of people that you can see here, this is on the day of Arafah, thousands of people, who do you think is the worst of all of them? I mean, what a question. In your mind, and I just told you about all the benefits of Arafah, didn't I? So how can a question even, you know, cross a person's mind that who can be the most wretched person to be here on Arafah? You and I will know that we are all fortunate to be there. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu anhu asked, tell me who it is. So, for example, we would have thought maybe you would say a bare namazi, somebody who's not punctual his namaz, maybe somebody who's a murderer, somebody who's committed zina and adultery. That will run through our minds naturally, of course. Hazrat Fudayl ibn Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi says, that person is the most wretched of individuals who thinks that his sins are too big and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive him. What a deep thing, my beloved. That person who thinks that he is such a sinner, that his sins are so much, or his sins are so, you know, despicable, that on this day, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness knows no limit, because it is that day wherein, from amongst all the days, there is no other day greater than this, in with regards to the number of people that are freed from the fire of Jahannam. So Hazrat Fudayl ibn Ayaz rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, the worst of individuals is he who thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive him on the day when Allah's forgiveness knows no bounds. In reality, my beloved friends, we've polluted every limb of our body with our sins. We've left no blade of grass unturned, but it has been polluted with our sins. Our sins know no bounds. Sins of the day, sins of the night, sins, you know, in secrecy, sins done openly and blatantly. So our sins have no bounds. But Allah's forgiveness is such, it is that day of the year that shaitan takes dust and sand and throws on his head. Why? Because all his efforts have gone in vain. So my beloveds, it is extremely important that you and I, first and foremost, be, although we may not be present in the lands of Haramain Sharifain, we may be here, but these, they are amal that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to do. So for example, it is simple things. Like, we make the dhikr of the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. This is nothing, don't think it to be insignificant. There's no, remember, there is no amal, there is no deed that is insignificant in Islam. وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, our beloved Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us, no deed is insignificant, even if it means meeting your Muslim brother with a smiling face. Imagine that, for that you'll get a reward. Because by meeting and creating this feeling of warmth and happiness that has been transmitted between two individuals, never harbor ill feelings towards one another. Never for example, be carried away with what others poison our minds with regards to people, etc. Because in reality, we have to, this love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created between a believer, between a mu'min is such that there is nothing like it in the whole world. We have to learn to forgive one another. We have to learn to overlook one another. So never consider any good, any amal, any deed to be insignificant whatsoever. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, in these 10 days, the first of the, we should recite the third kalima in abundance. On the day of Arafah, La ilaha illallahu wahdahu, la sharika lahu, lahul mulku, wa lahul hamdu, yuhyi wa yumitu biyadihi al-khayr, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Yes, you are right, it's the fourth kalima. Easy or difficult? Simple. Whether you're at work, going to work, commuting to and from work, you're in the office or wherever you may be, standing, sitting, it's such an ibadat, does not require wuzu. It doesn't need you to be facing the qibla. If we have to read namaz now and face that direction, our salah is invalid. We all have to be facing in this direction towards the qibla. But making this type of dhikr and this type of ibadah does not require such to be in the state of wudu. You can be standing, you can be sitting, you can be reclining, you can be lying down, whatever it is. But the rewards are tremendous and great indeed. And put forth each and every single one of your needs in front of Allah. I have many needs, and I'm sure you have the same. Our needs are temporary needs of this world, and our needs are everlasting needs of Akhirah. I have needs that deal with myself. And we have needs that deal with our children, our spouses, our family members. There are needs that we have that are health related. There are certain needs that we have that are wealth related. So many different needs that each and every one of us have. Who do we put this in front of, my beloved friends? The hardest thing is, nafs and shaitan will keep you down. It won't allow you to raise your hands firstly and make dua. We'll complain, yes, because we are masters at complaining about anything and everything. Despite Allah's countless bounties that He's bestowed us with, and His innumerable favors that He's given us, yet we still find things to complain about every single day of our lives. May Allah forgive us for being ungrateful to Him for His countless bounties. So, in other words, my beloved friends, turn to Allah in these blessed days and ask from Him, beg from Him. Wallah, you will see before your eyes your needs that you have. We have telling needs and wants. We have things that need urgent help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is waiting for us. Allah is waiting for you to just raise your hand and say, Ya Allah, oh my Allah, your sinful servant has put himself before you. Allah, help me, forgive me, overlook my shortcomings, remove all these hurdles and obstacles and difficulties that we have in our lives. My beloved friends, the day you raise your hands, Allah will raise all these hurdles and obstacles in our lives, inshallah. Make dua for your children also. And cry for them. We generally tend to make dua for the wealth of our children. We generally tend to make dua for the education of our children. Also try and include the hidayat of our children in those duas as well. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ. O my Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. And what is the coolness of our eyes? When our children, مُطِيعِينَ لِلَّهِ, they also will become the obedient servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah guide us, my beloved friends, and protect us. Alhamdulillah, we find that as we approach, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the main day, wherein Qurbani will be taking place here in South Africa and likewise throughout the world. If we haven't already prepared or, for example, haven't purchased an animal for Qurbani, then inshallah, we make intention that we will. There's still time for you to do so. If perchance you haven't saved up to make the qurbani, then start now. Our parents, alhamdulillah, they always taught us that the savings for qurbani don't start in the month qurbani starts. It starts 12 months prior to that. That means the day qurbani finishes, you already start saving for your next qurbani. And Allah will show you in your tin or in your savings, wherever you're putting it, Allah Pak will make it such that the time when it comes for that qurbani, your qurbani will be, the monies will be there. Allah will make it happen, inshallah. First, it starts with a intention, inshallah. We'll all make intention for that. That's now step number one. Number two is, there's severe warnings in the Hadith Sharif. With regards to that person who has the means to make the qurbani, yet he doesn't make the qurbani. Unfortunately, this misconception in our mind is, I did my qurbani last year. I don't have to do qurbani this year. My beloved brothers, qurbani is wajib on an individual who has the required amount, not for the whole year, unlike zakat, but during the 3 days of qurbani, 10th, 11th and 12th, at that time if he comes into the amount of the nisab, is wajib on him. Every single year. So you can't say, this year I'm doing for myself, next year I'm doing for my wife, the year before this I did for my father. It don't work like that. Every person will have to do, and many people ask these type of questions, that is why I'm clearing the air and teaching you that this is the means and the way in which qurbani is done. Understand that it becomes wajib on an individual every single year as long as he has the nisab. Sometimes maybe, you know, the financial situation is such that probably just not making it to have enough to do a local qurbani, then only in this way you do it abroad, and then inshallah you make the intention to do it local the following year. The reason why we advocate doing a local qurbani, it keeps the spirit of qurbani alive. And it runs through in our generations. Why are we so in love with qurbani and we'll never miss it? Because our parents taught it to us. May Allah reward them abundantly, inshallah. But the day it stops happening in your home and in your family, then a few generations down the line it will be lost completely. Then you will start sending it abroad and be doing it out of your home, or it won't even, qurbani will just be, or Eid al-Adha will just be a day. So very, very important, inshallah, that we all make the intention of performing qurbani, and inshallah Allah will make it easy for all and every one of us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even said, that person who does not do a qurbani shouldn't even come to the Eidgah. What is coming to the Eidgah for? Imagine such words of a stern warning from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So my beloved friends, these days, let us use it, inshallah, to the best of our ability, and inshallah, draw from the limitless treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah forgive us all, and accept the hajj of our brothers and sisters who have undertaken this great and noble journey. May Allah return them with a hajj mabrur and a hajj maqbool. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.